It's perhaps one of the strange contradictions of American life that, despite our avowed commitment to decency and democracy, there's a fascination with characters who personify the opposite. Fictive crime bosses such as Tony Soprano and Don Vito Corleone hold us in thrall. However, we know them only as fantasies. Prosecutors and crime reporters discover the far less appealing reality. Nonetheless, when the autobiography of crime boss Joe Bonanno came out, it was titled A Man of Honor. Bonanno lived till age 97, dying peacefully in his sleep yesterday in Tucson, Arizona. Joining us to talk about Bonanno is former New York Times correspondent Selwyn Robb. Mr. Robb, what was so compelling about Joe Bonanno?
Probably the most fascinating part about Bonanno was that he was at the birth. He was one of the nursemaids of the American Mafia in the early 1930s.
Now, he came from this town in Sicily that, his life almost is like Don Vito Corleone's. Can you tell us?
Well, it's a little different. He came from a town in Sicily, which was a major mafia stronghold in Sicily called Castellammare del Golfo. And the only reason he came to the United States was he and many other young mafiosi were being driven out of Italy in the 1920s because of the first crackdown against the Sicilian mafia, and that was by the fascist dictator Benito Mussolini. So he was a reluctant visitor to the U.S., but he succeeded eminently.
Although, of course, as is often pointed out, it would be easier for any businessman to be a success if he didn't have to abide by the law, which, of course, Bonanno did not. What kinds of criminal activities was he involved with?
He was in everything. He got his start through bootlegging in the 1920s. And when bootlegging gave the mob its first step up in America, it made them wealthy. And when Prohibition ended, they went into everything else, narcotics, gambling, prostitution, and into a lot of labor racketeering projects. That was actually what the basis of their wealth was. They took over unions. They took over entire industries. Bonanno was very big in the garment industry. He was very big in construction. There was a lot of what passed for legitimate operations.
His autobiography, which he wrote with someone else, was called A Man of Honor. How did he square things like racketeering, taking over unions, prostitution, with the concept of honor?
He always claimed that the mafia had more honor than most businessmen did. And what they were doing was, it was called mafia justice, because Sicilian and Italian Americans in the early part of the century could not get a square deal, and they had no choice. They couldn't become lawyers. They couldn't become successful businessmen. And what he was doing, he was providing services that the public wanted, and that it was nothing unethical about it. In fact, he boasted that the whole concept of the mafia, he was way ahead of his time, something like Enron. He said the whole point of the mafia was to create monopolies. And by creating monopolies, you had order and you provided good service at a fair price for the public.
And he didn't like to deal with anyone, even another Italian-American, who wasn't Sicilian, right?
No, he was one of the few organizations that was not an equal opportunity mob family. Bonanno didn't trust anyone but Sicilians, and he felt the Sicilians understood the whole code and tradition and culture that would make them impregnable.
How did he fall from power?
He got too greedy. He actually was installed in or took over a family after a major mob war in New York in 1930 and 31. And what he did in the early 60s, he made a power grab. He thought he could be the boss of bosses. And he actually, what he tried to do was set up a contract or a murder hit on two of his rivals, Tommy Three Finger Brown Lucchese and Carlo Gambino. They found out about it, and because of that, he was the one who had to flee.
Do you see a sort of a godfather like Bonanno as a sort of almost extinct cultural figure? I mean, the irony, I suppose, is that he died in his sleep at a very advanced age in Tucson, Arizona. Or are there still such mafia chieftains?
No, Bonanno was fortunate in the sense that there was very little surveillance or concern about the mafia when he was riding high. Today, law enforcement is very vigilant. Anyone who becomes a major figure in the mafia certainly falls quickly into the crosshairs of all the law enforcement agencies. So he had an easy time. It was a golden era for organized crime for the mafia. Today, that story would be very hard to replicate. I doubt very much if anyone is going to die, last as long as he did, and die tranquilly in his bed.
Selwyn Rabb is a former reporter for The New York Times, and he's writing a book about organized crime. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Glad to help out.